adverse suggestion and request, I should rephrase, of our executive officer as a courtesy to the folks who patiently have been waiting for the item 13. We will proceed with this item, and I understand there is a presentation that's going to be made. I have three speaker cards overlapping where you're going to be giving a presentation. So if I understand correctly, there'll be three of you giving the presentation. All right.
So I'll go ahead and introduce the item. Morro Bay Estuary Program 1997 Consent Decree Implementation Fund. Jennifer is the staff person on this. This item is to get board direction on future spending of the money that funds implementation of the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan for the Morro Bay National Estuary Project. This money was a result of a consent decree in 1997, which required PG&E to pay part of a civil penalty to the Bay Foundation of Morro Bay to be used on projects benefiting the Morro Bay watershed. The funds are held by the Bay Foundation, and use of these funds is governed by the consent decrees, memorandum of agreement between four parties: the Central Coast Water Board, US EPA, the Bay Foundation, and the Morro Bay National Estuary Program Executive Committee. Central Coast Water Board holds a seat on the Executive Committee. Water Board staff recommends that the Morro Bay National Estuary Program establish a spending plan for the remaining consent decree funds in conjunction with other parties to the memorandum of agreement to ensure that future spending and implementation continues to be consistent with the goals of all parties. Adrian Harris, the Morro Bay National Estuary Program Executive Director, will present a proposed spending plan. The other three parties of the MOA have stated support for the proposed spending plan. As the fourth party to the memorandum of agreement, the Central Coast Water Board is being asked to provide their input on the proposed spending plan. Susan Marr is here representing US EPA, and Gary, I'm let Gary say his last name because otherwise I'll butcher
it. It's Ruggeroni.
Ruggeroni, okay, thank you, is here representing the Bay Foundation.
Thank you, Ken. My name's Adrian Harris. I'm the executive director of the program, and we appreciate you hearing from us today. So for those of you that are unfamiliar with the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, we are a non-regulatory not-for-profit that's housed in the Bay Foundation of Morro Bay, and we bring together citizens, government, nonprofits, and landowners to protect and restore Morro Bay. As part of the Clean Water Act, specifically Section 320, which created the National Estuary Program, there are 28 programs around the country. The Morro Bay National Estuary Program was designated in 1995 after the community petitioned the Environmental Protection Agency to include it in the network. We were also established as a state estuary by the legislature in 1994. Our mission is to protect and restore Morro Bay. Our goals are to protect water quality, conserve habitat, educate the public to be good stewards, and foster collaboration. Since we're part of the National Estuary Program network, we receive technical and financial assistance from the Environmental Protection Agency to advance local conservation goals. This is a map of all the estuary programs around the country. You'll note that there are three in California: San Francisco, Morro Bay, and Santa Monica. So as dictated by the Clean Water Act, every national estuary program must do a number of things that I've listed here on this slide: to assess the trends in water quality and natural resources in their estuary, to collect data to identify causes of environmental problems, and to create comprehensive management plans with corrective actions to restore that estuary and monitor the effectiveness of these actions. What we do is contained in our management plan for Morro Bay. It was drafted with broad community input and approved by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Governor of California. Every 5 years, there's a full program review of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program by the Environmental Protection Agency to ensure that we are continuing to be eligible for the program. So working with landowners and partner organizations, we conduct monitoring and research, restore natural habitats, and educate residents and visitors on how to keep Morro Bay healthy. We work in the bay as well as in the watershed that drains into the bay. And we've actually, over the last 20 years, conducted quite a bit of work in Chorro Valley, which is about 60% of the drainage into that bay. There are many types of organizations that we work with to do our work. This is just a list of some of the broad categories. We work with local municipalities, county government, state agencies, federal agencies, nonprofits, local business, landowners, and interested community members. So, on to the item of today. In 1997, the U.S. District Court issued a consent decree order to PG&E for NPDES permit violations at Diablo Canyon. As part of that order, the court required them to provide approximately $3.66 million to the Bay Foundation of Morro Bay, which is the fiscal agent for the National Estuary Program, to implement actions in the National Estuary Program's management plan pursuant to guidelines in a memorandum of agreement in the consent decree. So there are four signatories to this agreement: the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Board, the Bay Foundation of Morro Bay, and the Local Policy Committee of the Estuary Program, which is now referred to as the Executive Committee. Any amendment to the MOA would need to be approved by all of these parties. The consent decree funds and the interest earned from them have been vital to the Estuary Program and our partners in our efforts to protect the Bay and the watershed since 1997. To date, we've spent about $4 million, so that's the principal plus interest, and have leveraged close to more than $9 million. Currently, as of July, the remaining amount in the fund is interest, and it's $1.8 million as of July, which 1.2 is currently not obligated. The Bay Foundation, who manages these funds, along with all of the funds for the National Estuary Program, is held to strict financial accounting procedures by the federal government because of the level of financial assistance we receive from the federal government every year. All of the funds associated with the National Estuary Program, so that's federal dollars, state dollars, these consent decree dollars, are all held to these standards. Every year, we have a third-party audit of our books to ensure that we are meeting those standards. I know that one board member, when you were prepping for this meeting, had questions about our procedures for how we manage restricted funds. These are restricted funds, and they are held in a separate account. And I've provided Tammy documentation to help answer that question, including a letter from our auditor and our FY13 audit report. Since receiving the consent decree funds, the Bay Foundation has managed them in accordance with the terms of the MOA in a prudent manner. So these funds and the interest earned from them have helped to fund a variety of management plan projects over the years. Here is a list of just some of the kinds of projects that these funds have helped support. So some specific examples to share with you. It assisted in helping purchase the conservation easement on the Highland Ranch, which is about 350 acres, as well as the conservation easement on the Mino Ranch, that's about 1,800 acres. They helped purchase oil spill response materials for the harbor of Morro Bay. We are pretty far from the local state oil spill response agency, so it's very useful to have those materials on hand. It also helped with creek and floodplain restoration at Walters Creek, which is part of the Choro drainage. And we are currently using some of these funds to help with rural road improvements in Choro Valley to reduce chronic sedimentation to the bay. Over the years, a number of organizations have benefited from these funds. The Estuary Program meets our objectives of our management plan by working with many organizations, local businesses, and landowners. So this is a list of some of the groups that have benefited from these funds over the years. For example, the Coastal San Luis RCD has received funds for Project Clearwater and other agricultural BMPs in the area. And the Small Wilderness Area Preserve, a small nonprofit based in Los Osos, has received funds to help with elephant forest conservation. Section G of the MOA stated that the principal, the $3.66 million, needed to be spent by 2009, and this was spent by that date. The MOA did not specify the terms for the remaining interests earned. The NEP, in coordination with the parties of the MOA, have been investing the remaining interest wisely and using these funds to continue implementation of our management plan since 2009. All fund decisions are approved annually by the Executive Committee. The Executive Committee has representation from each of the MOA signatories. Actually, Jen is our current Executive Committee rep for the Water Board, and in the past it was Dominic Roque. Earlier this summer, the parties of the MOA met to discuss the future of these funds, and we initially agreed that it was important to ensure these funds were still available for conservation efforts in the Morro Bay estuary. The Water Board staff asked us to prepare a draft plan for the future of these funds, and this is in your packet that you received before this meeting. There are two proposals that we've outlined in this plan, a 10-year and a 20-year plan. In 2012, I should note that the Executive Committee voted to allocate remaining funds in the account along four focus areas. You can see them in this chart here. And they created a percentage breakdown for each one of those. So in this chart, you can see how that would align to the 10 and 20-year plans and how much money would be per focus area. Obviously, the 20-year plan, which we're speculating would be about $3 million spent over that time period, would maximize funds available for conservation in the watershed. The 10-year plan, we estimate, would be about $2 million. We are asking the parties to decide how long they would like to keep these remaining funds lasting, and that's one of the items for discussion. I would note that these numbers are estimates based on advice that we've received from our investment analysts and are based on current projections of what we think future market values will be. Obviously, none of us have a crystal ball about when it comes to investing funds, so these numbers could change. So the kinds of works that would be conducted with these funds in the future, we've outlined that in the proposal that's in your packet, but here is an example of some of the work that will be funded on this slide. The Water Board staff also asked me to address the idea of whether it would be feasible to spend down these funds in a 3-year time frame as opposed to the time frames that we've outlined in our proposal. We feel that that would not be the most prudent measure, as it would not maximize the benefit for estuarine conservation. In addition, and very in particular, that there are a few projects that we think are very important to be funded with these funds, and they will not be completed in a 3-year time frame. In particular, those projects would be future conservation easement agreements in the Los Osos Valley, the eelgrass restoration efforts, and floodplain restoration on the Choa Creek Ecological Reserve that will help keep sediment out of the bay. I would also note that projects funded through these funds also help to address TMDLs in the watershed. The bay is listed for sediment and pathogens, and the watershed is listed for sediment, pathogens, and nutrients. More time to invest these funds for conservation would equal more work towards TMDL goals. To date, three of the four signatories of the proposal support this proposal: the US EPA, the Bay Foundation, and the Morro Bay National Estuary Program's Executive Committee. Along with multiple organizations that work with the National Estuary Program, I've listed here on this slide some of the organizations that have sent letters in advance of this board meeting to the board in support of this proposal. So we are requesting that the parties to the MOA agree to one of the approaches that we've listed in the proposal. And I will remind you that yearly funding decisions will continue to be voted on by the Executive Committee, which has representation from the Bay Foundation, from the EPA, from the Central Coast Water Board, and the like. So I wanted to turn the mic over to two people that have come with me today. Gary Ruggieroni, who's the president of the Bay Foundation, one of the signatories, as well as Suzanne Marr from Region 9 from the EPA.
And let me ask you, you had requested 15 minutes. How much more time do you need? Perfect. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Suzanne Marr. I work at the EPA out of the Region 9 office in San Francisco. I'm the project officer for the Morro Bay NEP. I'm going to do a very brief review of the letter of October 21st, 2014 from Jane Diamond, the director of our water division at EPA Region 9, to Executive Director Harris and Chairman Wolf. This is from Jane Diamond. I am writing to convey US EPA Region 9's strong support for the Morro Bay National Estuary Program's continued utilization of the funds provided by the consent decree entered in US versus PG&E. This consent decree was entered by the court to resolve alleged violations of the Clean Water Act, and the State Water Code pertaining to the cooling water intake and discharges from the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. As you know, the May 1997 Memorandum of Agreement was developed to guide the disbursement of funds provided by the consent decree for environmental enhancement through implementation of the Morro Bay NEP Conservation and Management Plan. The original $3.66 million in consent decree funds has been spent. Now the Morro Bay NEP is proposing to spend the remaining funds, approximately $1,821,000, generated through accrual of interest. We support the two options identified in the Morro Bay NEP's proposed spend plan, issued September 29, 2014. The timeframes of 10 or 20 years would be suitable. The proposed projects are appropriate within the MOA framework. We do not believe modifications to the MOA are required. The EPA has been providing annual grant funds to the Morro Bay NEP since 1995. The Morro Bay NEP is a responsible grantee that works effectively to improve the water quality and habitat in the Morro Bay watershed. We are confident they would use remaining consent decree interest funds to benefit the health of the Morro Bay watershed. And the rest just provides my contact information.
Hi, I'm Gary Ruggeroni with the Bay Foundation. I have the distinction of being the only person around who actually signed on the MOA. I was there at the time, I signed on that, talked with EPA, went through negotiations to try to set this whole thing up. Couple of the things Bay Foundation had to do in order to make this happen. We had to assure EPA that we had the ability to put these funds in a segregated account where they would be separate and we would manage them separately. And we've done that. We've done that through the entire time. We're audited on a regular basis to make sure that we're doing that. We had to invest them as a prudent investor would do. The MOA talks about treasury bills or something like that, some kind of conservative investment. We wanted to go a little bit beyond that. We worked with several advisors, financial advisors. We chose one who came up with a plan. We ran that by EPA to make sure that that fit with their conservative investor requirements. They agreed, and we did that. And we've been able to, we've been very successful in growing that and actually making that 3.6 much more money that could be spent in the Bay. And also, the NEP has been required to provide financial reports. We've done that to the regional board on a regular basis. So we hope that you will agree and move forward with this so we can continue doing the good work in the Bay.
Thank you, three of you, for your input. Appreciate that. So I open to my colleagues here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're keeping me alert, aren't you?
I will move on.
The only question I really had back to the project app people was really you're the subject matter experts here, and your question is to approve the proposal, but your proposal is actually two different choices there. And which one do you guys, I take it you prefer the longer one, right?
Well, so I would note that each of the signatories of the MOA have a say, and in particular, EPA has not taken a stance on one of those two issues yet, and neither has the Bay Foundation or the Executive Committee. We chose not to ask those groups to take a stand on 10 versus 20 years until we had some feedback from the fourth signatory.
When you say they've offered support, they've offered support for one of those choices.
They've offered support for either of those choices.
That's what I meant. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that answers my only question. And I just to get my comments in, it's you at our pre-brief, I can tell you, you had great cheerleaders on staff. So in terms of both the work that you've done in the past and the and any ignorant questions I might have asked about concerns of your ability to do work in the future. So staff, I think, has said you've done a great job, both in terms of projects and in terms of handling the money in the way that you will handle it in the future. So. And my input would just be that I think the choice should be the option that works best for the people who are on the ground doing the projects. And whatever that turns out to be, I'm going to support.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnston.
Ditto.
Dr. Hunter.
So great. Yeah, I do want to say a few things. Mr. Ruggioni, it's very nice to see you here today. And I just want to share with you, I was very fortunate to be in the room that day also under a grant from the Office of Water, EPA, as a graduate student. I chose to work with the community and help to complete the last phase of the conservation management plan. So it was a great undertaking, and I got to know some amazing folks, along with Mr. Ruggioni, Bill Newman, and some other folks who, this was truly started at a kitchen table, and I had the privilege of learning all about that. So, of course, I'm a big fan, and I have seen the program grow and sustain, and that has been very heartening because the community does value and love that estuary and all the wildlife and all the recreational opportunities that it gives us. I do have a question for staff, and I don't know if you have an answer for me, but is there, are there any inherent risks in either the 10-year or the 20-year plan? Are there any drawbacks to one or the other that we should consider?
I think our general feeling is there's a, it's very unusual for a regional board to have control over this kind of money. Every year we are questioned by the control state control agencies. We have to provide all kinds of documentation to them. We're winding down now. There's not, I think this is the last pot of money, I'm not sure. There's always a risk that the state could come in and say, you know, we just don't think this is appropriate any longer and snag the money.
Settlement agreements that are being implemented pursuant to court approval and court orders in the consent decree. So it's a little unusual, and it's something that people aren't used to, but we're implementing a court order and in accordance with the court order. So I don't think that in terms of the risk, there's really any difference between 10 years and 20 years.
Okay, yeah, I just want to be sure because my understanding, and I had asked this question prior, that it's kind of a gray area that wasn't foreseen in the consent decree, in the original language of the consent decree, correct?
I think it was assumed that the money would be spent by now, but there is specific language in the consent decree stating what will happen if there are remaining funds after 2009.
Oh, okay. All right. So, and this falls within the proposal for 10 or 20 years falls within the language that covers the period beyond 2009.
It doesn't say anything in terms of what happens after 2009, whether that means 2029 or 2050.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Jeffrey?
Well, I support the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. I have since it was founded in 97. I'm the only board member left from 97. And I don't want you to lose the money. That's the main thing. This board has been proactive as far as utilizing funds, and I think that's the reason we encouraged going to Bay Foundation at that particular time for them to handle the money. Our staff couldn't handle the money at that particular time, and it's better to have a third party handle it. Whatever leverage is it best for you, that's where I want to go. So I support whatever you want to do.
Mayor Delgado?
Yes, because on page 5 of that 65-page document, it says, in order to maximize the conservation benefit to the estuary, a 20-year spend plan option was created. So for me, if that maximizes conservation benefit, I'd prefer the 20-year. But if there's, like everyone else has said, if there's other reasons that you all think the 10-year is better, that I have no problem with that. I did have a kind of a, just a question. The Eelgrass Recovery Project, it says that in the report that since 2010, there's been a 95% decline of eelgrass. And my question is, have the conditions that cause the eelgrass demise been removed, or are those conditions still present?
So that's an excellent question that we're still trying to answer ourselves. You know, unfortunately, we can't go back in time and do studies to, during that decline time period to see exactly what caused the decline. We have some hypotheses. Most likely, it involved a number of factors. Water quality dynamics and nutrient dynamics, potentially, that allowed algae to outpace eelgrass. We've seen, we documented algae overgrowing eelgrass and smothering it. We also have seen eelgrass wasting disease in the bay, which is a slime mold that impacts eelgrass. We believe that there was a very large bloom of the disease in the bay during that time frame that helped knock back the eelgrass population. We're working with eelgrass experts throughout the state of California to develop our recovery efforts. And we felt in 2012 that it was very important to start a recovery effort, even though we didn't know the exact reasons for the decline, because it was quite feasible that we would lose all eelgrass in the bay. Right now, we only have about 17 acres of intertidal eelgrass. And if we lose all the eelgrass in the bay, it's incredibly difficult to bring it back if we're transplanting, say, from San Francisco Bay, because obviously that's very genetically different. So in 2012, 2013, and 2014, we've done plantings where basically we've transplanted healthy eelgrass from healthy beds in the bay to areas where we used to see healthy eelgrass beds in the bay. And our hope is that over time, Mother Nature will do its thing and bring those beds back. We're monitoring that to see. We're always constantly trying to learn, is there a better approach for the recovery efforts? And trying to still continue to look into that issue of, are there parameters still taking place that are impacting eelgrass's ability to come back? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, just a quick little follow-up. Is it true then that you're spending money a little bit at a time on the eelgrass reintroductions, so that it's you don't spend it unwisely?
Yes. So every year we're reevaluating and we're monitoring. It's kind of a cyclical process. So we plant a little bit, monitor that, see how well that did, tweak our process, plant a little bit more, monitor, plant. It's a very adaptive management style of doing the project.
And I'll just say I 100% hope that you're successful in the eelgrass recovery. I think it's a fantastic ecosystem delivery plant. So
yeah, thank you. We are too. Obviously, it's a keystone species in the bay. It's pretty important for many species that live there.
Thank you.
Mr. Young?
You're the same group that we had the field trip at, correct? And we saw, we had a presentation of your water quality monitoring. No? Who was that?
Elkhorn Slough.
Elkhorn. Different watershed entirely.
Yeah. That's my area.
Okay. All right.
A sister partner program. They're funded through NOAA. They're a National Estuary Research Reserve. So similar, but not quite the same as an estuary program.
Have you guys done water quality monitoring like they have?
Well, I'm not totally familiar with the way they set up their monitoring program in Elkhorn Slough, but we do have a very robust monitoring program as well in the estuary program. We have a whole suite of monitoring parameters that we test monthly in the creeks in the watershed as well as in the bay. We have a very successful volunteer monitoring program that Monica would know about from being with Friends of the Estuary that helps us collect that information. We compile that information in annual or triannual reports depending on the audience that we're reaching out to. We do try and give that to the general public triannually. And then we're sending it to a whole suite of agencies and organizations. The Water Board gets a lot of that information, and you use that for your 303D listings as well as TMDL implementation reports. We send that to public health, the county, the city, the CSD, local businessmen, the oystermen use our data, so we have quite an extensive program.
Maybe at some point we could ask them if they could present us with a similar type of presentation on water quality impacts that we had up in Elkhorn Slough. I mean, they've been doing monitoring over a number of years, you know, dissolved oxygen and other parameters. And when you really see it in graph form, you start to see the impacts that actually are occurring in these national estuaries. And I think it really is important information. So if you have similar data, you know, I'd love to see it presented somehow. Either we do a field trip to where your offices are at, or you come here.
A field trip had it been offered. And
I apologize, we offered it kind of last minute, but we, of course, would be welcome to having you come individually or as a group to come visit sometime after this meeting. And I can also send staff a couple of monitoring reports if you're interested in that information.
Well, I think you're asking for them to come back and possibly present those and have an interactive dialogue with the board on monitoring.
Right.
May I add?
Hold on.
Mr. Young? I just to add on to what he was saying, the value of Elkhorn Slough is that we actually went there. And I would suggest that on your interest that we maybe think of it as a field trip, because seeing the tables and the graphs is important, but I think seeing it in context of what actually is encumbered by the program and how they approach it.
Well, I would agree. You know, they showed us, what's the light green algae that grows all over the kind of the intertidal zone?
Are you talking about ulva, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see that, you know, you might think it's okay. But when someone explains to you that it's just gotten out of hand, and it's suffocating things,
chokes up.
I mean, you know, the habitat there. I think that's, you know, for us, that's important for us to see and appreciate. So, you know, those kinds of visual things that can be pointed out, I think, are helpful, along with the water quality parameters that are causing that, whether it's excess nutrients or excess phosphorus or something like that.
Well, again, we'd be happy to host you in any capacity, and we can work with staff to know how best to formulate that.
Maybe next year there'll be an opportunity.
I'll make a quick comment.
I just have a comment. Since I chair the Moss Landing Harbor District, which is the mouth of Elkhorn Slough, we're seeing eelgrass coming to areas that we didn't have eelgrass, and now we have areas it's disappearing. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. John Oliver at the Moss Landing Marine Lab, but I would contact him. He is an expert in eelgrass, as well. I'm sure you've worked with Mark Silverstein and his staff at the Elkhorn Slough Foundation. But those two individuals, I would really work with them, especially Dr. Oliver, has a lot of information on eelgrass and why it's propagating in some areas and why it's leaving in others. And they have a lot of data from the Elkhorn Slough.
Thank you for that contact. I'll check with staff if they have that information already. And I would just say we've been working with folks that are experts in Southern California as well as Washington State along the coast. And we've seen kind of declines in various places in California. Humboldt's been seeing some decline as well as Southern California. So it's not just localized to Morro Bay, but it could be different causes in different areas.
So before requesting my colleagues to make a motion, I would support 20 years, and the reason being that you folks have done a very good job with what I call the money multiplier in using some of the funds to generate matching funds with other grants. So I think that gives you an opportunity for a longer time to put that money to work, so to speak. I will also attest to the fact that you folks are exemplary in your work. Twofold, I think you have shown excellent financial, you know, judicious decisions. I wish some other organizations where monies were invested were as successful as you were. You have been able to manage your overhead extremely well. So there's that part, but also excellent work technically. Your work is predominantly on the ground, so this is not type of projects where you know, your product is a three-ring binder with a set of pulp and paper recommendations. It's on the ground, and also it has been a pleasure for me to collaborate on other projects with some of you. So Gary, I'll use your first name, but you know, working on project with Salmon Enhancement and all of the key folks in your organization are also very much involved with other environmental groups. So, you know, my congratulations. So I would support 20 years. Now I will
Mr. Chair, there is no resolution. This was strictly a general board discussion and direction. I think if the board concurs that you're okay with either approach and
So what I will ask in the spirit of consensus is, you know, sort of at least a nod or a show of support. All right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, what translating this in plain English? Go for it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your good work.
So, I guess it's time for lunch, and I will comment. I don't think there'll be many here for public forum, so that should be short. And the last real significant item for the day, although we could move some things from tomorrow to today if we want, will be the ag item. So I think we can, you know, take a 45-minute lunch or hour lunch, whatever you want to do.
Let's make it 45 minutes.
Okay.
Do we have any closed session items?
Nope. Okay, thank you.
We have adjourned for lunch, and it is 1:05, so we will reconvene at 1:50.